Greetings in Christ Jesus, and welcome once again to the Twin Steeples podcast. Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church here in Mankato, Minnesota, whose main goals are to share God's saving word and to communicate the ongoing activity of Christ's kingdom here at Emmanuel. Good morning, and thank you for joining us today. Today is Wednesday, March 13th, 2024. I'm your host, Pastor Joe Nauman, joined today by the principals of our school, Mr. Brandon Heinze and Mr. Matthew Kranz. How are you gentlemen doing today?
Doing well.
Good.
Nice to have you here. Thank you for joining us in our opening devotion for our podcast here today. Today I'd like to begin by reading the last verses of Philippians chapter 1. The three of us have kind of been working through Philippians here, and we come to the end of the first chapter today. The Apostle Paul writes, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here is in me." So this past weekend in worship, we studied Revelation chapter 5, where we took a look at the picture in heaven of God the Father on the throne, and John the Apostle was looking for someone who was worthy to open the scroll, and finally the Lamb who was slain was found worthy to come and to open the scroll, which was the future that God had planned for his people. So this idea of worthy, we find here in this text as well, too. And Paul says, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. And so maybe that'd be my first question for you guys. If Jesus is worthy to open the scroll, how can we be worthy then of the gospel of Jesus, the good news of Jesus, that he shines into our life? What about our lives would make us worthy?
Yeah, I like that word conduct. How you conduct yourself, how you live your life, be worthy of the gospel of Christ. I think sometimes as Lutheran Christians especially, we're very humble and we don't want to take any credit for ourselves, but that's not what this is telling us to do. We can only be worthy of the gospel of Christ by being in Christ. You kind of think like when Paul writes about the Lord's Supper, are you worthy of the supper? Well, by ourselves, no, but we're worthy because we believe. And I think this is the same idea here that, yeah, we can have our conduct, our behavior, our lifestyle be worthy of the gospel of Christ if we are striving to be like Christ, to live for him and do his will. And then through that, Christ is the one who's actually doing the work through us. So that's what he wants and that's what we can do.
Yeah, and I think this maybe touches on a little bit of that, you know, be in the world but not of the world type of ideology as well, because, you know, your conduct as a response out of Christ's love for us is that of living sanctified lives. And I think that's what Paul's talking about here, is to that he's hearing about how they are living out their lives for Christ, worthy of, you know, being the bearers of the gospel through that, so that they're not sending mixed messages to people that they're, you know, sharing the gospel with. As if, you know, on Sunday you're sharing the gospel, but Monday through Saturday you're living life as if the gospel doesn't matter. It sends a pretty mixed message.
Yeah. One of my favorite authors, he talks about how Christians are the masks of God, right? So God doesn't reveal himself. He doesn't appear to us in person. He puts on us as masks, and so we're supposed to represent God in all that we say and do. And as you say, if we say we're Christian, but then act in a way that Christ doesn't want us to, well then, what does that say about Christ, and what does it say about Christianity in general, too? Good. So he goes on and he talks about this standing firm in one spirit, one mind, striving together. That's something that, you know, I've thought about a lot with us as a church and a school is, you know, we all have different levels of sanctification, right? Some of us have better scriptural knowledge, some have less scriptural knowledge, some have studied in God's word for a long time. I think of, like, you know, some of our older members and even former professors and stuff like that who I've forgotten more about God's word than I know. How can we all be one mind, one spirit striving together, faith in the gospel? How is that even possible? I mean, that's what Paul encourages here and in other places as well, but how is that even an attainable goal?
I think it's only attainable through Christ, by working together with that mind that we are all believers in Christ and we all have Christ living within us. It's through that spirit living within us that we can have that one spirit and one mind that are striving together and working in God's kingdom here on earth.
When you look at that section, one mind striving together, the section after talks about not being anyway terrified by your adversaries. I think if you just look back the whole previous parts of chapter 1 of Philippians, the word that pops into my mind is boldness. How can we strive with one mind? Boldly. You know, not afraid of chains, not afraid of the world, not afraid of the devil, but boldly going forward and conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel, preaching the gospel, sharing the word, not being afraid of all the other things. And Paul, I think, stresses that, and that whether I see you or am absent, that I hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hear about your boldness. For us, then, yeah, different knowledge of the Bible, different levels of study, different walks of life, but one striving together, one bold effort in doing God's will, I think it's a big key here.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, that striving together, that boldness, I think ties in well with 28, where it says not terrified of your adversaries at all. You know, when I read through this just a second ago, I immediately thought of King David, right? King David, when he was faced with the giant Philistine Goliath, what did he do? He didn't shy away. He didn't even put on armor. He just grabbed 5 stones, and the Bible says he ran towards his enemy, you know? So he went charging right toward him. He wasn't afraid. He went right at him. And to the enemy, it says that this is proof, to them, it's proof of perdition. You know, if we looked at a little boy named David running at a huge giant soldier like Goliath, to the outside eye, to the enemy, they'd be like, man, that kid is toast. You know, he's dog meat. But to us, as we face our adversaries, and here it's not the giant Goliath, but it's the giants of sin and death and the devil and our own sinful nature. Those are the giants that we face in our lives. But we do not need to be terrified of them at all, because we can be bold, as you say, to face our enemies, not because of our strength, but because of the gospel of Christ, because we can stand fast, united together. You know, and I think that's an important thing to remember, is Paul's talking to a church here. You know, we are a church and school here at Emmanuel, and God has given us to each other as a blessing to help each other stand firm. And so I guess that'd be a challenge that I would issue to anybody listening to this, is, how have you been working together in order to encourage your church and school to stand fast together in one spirit, in one mind, striving together in the faith of the gospel? And when I hear that, as even those words come out of my mouth, it's like, oh man, have I been doing as much as I can, or have I been striving to do that in as much as I'm capable of doing? And so I don't say that as a I'm doing everything I can. It's, I think we can all work harder towards that.
Well, Brandon and I feel very chastised right now. Like, my favorite Bible account about boldness always, and you'd be asking my student, I probably spent too much time on this account. It's when Peter and the disciples were crossing the sea in the storm, and Jesus walked out to them. And Peter's just, I really like the example, because he sees Jesus, they're all afraid, and he says, it's I. And Peter's first reaction is to say, if it's really you, let me walk on water too. And then we know what happens. He starts sinking, and Jesus grabs him. And I think for us Christians, yeah, when we read Paul's letters, it's such a tall task, and it's seemingly impossible to live this Christian life that Paul wants us to do. We're not. You know, we're the ones reaching out to Jesus. He's the one extending his hand, and we are going to mess up. You know, we are going to be terrified by our adversaries sometimes. That's our simple flesh. But who's right there with forgiveness and healing to bring us back to walk on water with him? It's Jesus. And I think that's an important thing to remember in these things. Like, yeah, none of us are the Christian we want to be, but none of us have to be the Christian we want to be on our own. We are constantly walking with Christ. And so be bold, because you know he's right there to lift you up when you fall or sink or drown. And that's why we can walk boldly.
Which brings us to the last two verses then, where it talks about, for us, it's been granted not only to believe, but also to suffer for his sake. You know, and for Paul, he's writing from under house arrest. You know, he's in chains because of the gospel. He writes that the Philippians there, they are suffering for his sake. Now, too, we don't know exactly what that suffering might have looked like. Although, as we look at Paul and his mission trips, there was certainly physical suffering. There was times where he was flogged, and were times where he was stoned, and times where he was beaten. So perhaps that's what the Philippians were going through. In 2024, here in the United States, we're not enduring that type of suffering. So what can we take from this as far as applying to our lives? Because it's not like we're, you know, being tied to a post and flogged for our Christian faith. We have religious freedoms here. But I do think we still have our crosses to bear. We do have our things we suffer for Christ. So what might be the practical examples of this in our lives?
Well, one of the terms that I've heard frequently is FOMO, fear of missing out. And maybe this is not as serious as, you know, being physically flogged or some things like that, but I think there are definitely things that the world is doing around us that, you know, in order to continue to strive for the gospel and things like that, that we have to miss out on. We can't participate in them. We don't want to be, you know, a part of them in order to keep our message clear. And that fear of missing out can be something that we struggle with, that as like, hey, everybody else is doing this, I feel like I'm missing out on something kind of thing. But it wouldn't be good for us to do that, and that might be a struggle that people have to bear, especially in the 21st century now, mm-hmm. that we are living in. That's a strong thing to contend with. It's not necessarily a physical thing, but it's more of an emotional thing that we're struggling with.
Yeah, kind of a social pressure,
right?
Peer pressure kind of thing to participate in whatever those things might be, whether it be attending the party, or whether it be
right.
where you know some things are going to happen that's not pleasing to God, or you know, even like keeping up with the latest TV shows that you know are not God pleasing. Those kind of things.
And then the social ramifications of missing out on those things and not be participating in those things and having to deal with that.
Yeah.
It's interesting that he says, it's been granted to you not only to believe in Christ, but to suffer. You've been granted the right to suffer, and it seems so backwards. But that's in those tough moments that Brandon was mentioning, that's the strength we rely on. You look at like the Hebrew section where he talks about all those people who suffered for Christ, who were sawn in half and burned at the stake and all those things. Not that, you know, none of those things are happening to us here in Mankato, which is a blessing, but he says the world was not worthy of them. Back to that, your conduct being worthy of the gospel of Christ. They counted it as a blessing to suffer for Christ, and that's what will give us the strength then in those tough moments here.
Yeah. As we've been going through this study together, I've been thinking about the jailer at Philippi reading this letter the whole time. You know, and for him, remember, Paul and Silas were arrested, they were thrown in jail, and all for healing that girl who was possessed. and after all that happened, Paul and Silas were singing hymns and praising God in jail, you know. And when I think about that, you know, they were, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to suffer for your sake, that we've been flogged and beaten and thrown in jail, and now here we are surrounded by criminals and held unjustly. And, you know, Paul, as a Roman citizen, was treated against, he was flogged illegally, which he shouldn't have been. And it'd be easy to be so self-righteous in that moment, but Paul says, thank you, Lord, for the chance to suffer for you. You know, and the jailer Philippi saw that. The whole jail was converted when they didn't run away. You know, they all went back to the jailer's house, and then him and his whole household were baptized. And, you know, when I think of all that, boy, this really kind of nails home, doesn't it? That, you know, that's what Paul's talking to here.
Yeah.
Any closing thoughts? All right, let's pray. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunities that you give us to suffer for your sake. Though we may not be suffering physically as many of your servants in the past, we know that there are many crosses that we have to carry and burdens we need to bear in our lives. Help us to do so according to your will, with strength, and help us to carry them in a manner worthy of the calling to which we've been called, which is as your children, as lights in this world shining in the darkness, shining light upon you and your gospel that you have revealed to us through your holy word. Help us to grow in your word and bless each of us as we worship in your house today at our Lent service, and bless everyone who needs your healing and saving hand as well. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As far as our weekly updates and reminders, I'd encourage everyone to keep in their prayers Pastor Nathaniel Mayhew, who's considering the call we issued to him last weekend. Pray that the Lord would give him confidence in the direction that the Lord would have him go, whether it be to come here and serve us at Emmanuel or to stay there in Sleepy Eye and to serve the congregation there. Our Lent worship continues today with the theme, Who Was Seeking Our Savior's Death? Today, Pastor George Duman will be leading us in a look at Caiaphas, who was the high priest there that year when Jesus was on trial. And then next week, Pastor Mayhew will be leading us on a study of Pontius Pilate, who was also seeking our Savior's death. This coming Saturday, March 16th, is Alumni Day, and it turned into an alumni weekend. There'll be games on Friday evening and also on Saturday. You can look at the schedule on our church website or in the bulletin or in the emails that have been sent out about the weekend plans for alumni weekend. So it should be a fun time. Hope you can come and watch some games and participate in the fun this weekend for that. Next weekend is Arts Camp weekend. That'll be taking place March 22nd through the 24th. Stay tuned for that. That is also Palm Sunday weekend, which starts and kicks off our Holy Week. So Monday, Thursday will be that Thursday. We'll have 2 p.m. and 6 p.m. services with communion. We'll also have a Good Friday service the next day at 2 p.m. and 6 p.m. There will be no communion that Good Friday. And we'll also have our regularly scheduled weekend services at 6 p.m. and 10 a.m. on Easter, and also a special Easter sunrise service at 7 a.m. Which brings us to our prayer list for today, which includes our ongoing cancer patients, John Hine, Marlene Hanel, and Jim Leon. We also keep in our prayers Jean Morey, who this weekend will be turning 103 years old. So we thank God for that great blessing for her as well. Our hymn of the day today is hymn 414 in the Red Hymnal. The man is ever blessed who shuns the sinner's ways, among their counsels never stands, nor takes the scorner's place, but makes the law of God his study and delight, amid the labors of the day and watches of the night. He like a tree shall thrive with waters near the root, fresh as the leaf his name shall live, his works are heavenly fruit. Not so the ungodly race, they no such blessing find, their hopes shall flee like empty chaff before the driving wind. How will they bear to stand before that judgment seat, where all the saints at Christ's right hand in full assembly meet? He knows and he approves the way the righteous go, but sinners and their works shall meet a dreadful overthrow. Amen. Thank you for joining us on the Twin Steeples podcast. Once again, Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church here in Mankato, Minnesota. For more information about the ongoing activity here, we'd invite you to check out our website, emmanuelmankato.org. Until next time, may God bless and keep you, and may you always remember, Emmanuel, God is with you.